Hello and welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm your host, Tara Henry, joined by Rhiannon Potke. If you're a huge college softball fan, you're in the right place. We can't wait to share the weekly D1 softball news, bring you interviews from all over the country, provide in-season game analysis, the top 25, and much, much more. Stick around. Welcome to episode 12 of the D1 Softball Podcast. We've got a very special Louisiana-themed podcast for you today, joined by pitchers, LSU Tiger pitchers, Mary Beth Gorsuch and Shelby Sunseri. And then we're going to head on down to McNeese State and speak to head coach Landrenau down there at McNeese State and hear really about everything they've kind of gone through in terms of the hurricane, and just happy to hear that they're able to get back on the field. Hope you enjoy this episode. Again, you can email us at info@d1softball.com. Like, subscribe, and let us know what you think. Enjoy the episode.
Thank you for joining us today. We have some very special guests from Louisiana State University. We've got pitchers Mary Beth Gorsuch and Shelby Sunseri, both Texas natives, which are part of a LSU staff that led the nation in ERA last season at 0.95. That is ridiculous to have a staff ERA of 0.95 with four pitchers contributing mainly. Mary Beth, a senior, was 4-1 with a 1.15 ERA. Shelby, 6-0 with a 1.20 ERA. The thing is, everyone has returned for this upcoming season, so that's going to be scary for some opponents. SEC's probably looking at that going, couldn't one of you, some of them would have left the team. And you also add freshman Morgan Smith to the bullpen there. So thank you guys for joining us. We really appreciate you joining the D1 Softball Podcast.
Yes, thank you for having us. We are really excited to talk with you guys and talk more about our staff this year.
And that was Mary Beth, right? We're going to distinguish because voice is here. So
yes, that was me.
Okay, so we'll know now. You can tell the voices. Shelby, why don't you say hi so we can distinguish?
Hey, it's good to be on, and we're really excited for this year.
Well, good. Let's start with that. Whichever one of you wants to take it, that staff last year, what makes you guys so good? I know it's hard to brag about yourselves, but what do you think really enables, because it's maybe one or two pitchers can have that, but to have all like four arms that are that solid, what about this staff kind of makes it tick? What makes it special?
You want me to start? Yeah, I'll start. I think one thing that makes this really special is that we're all different, and we all bring something different to the table. And so one big thing that I thought was really cool with the staff we have is that other teams don't just have to prepare for, one or two pitchers. They have to prepare for all of us. And because we're all so different, they're having to prepare for different speeds and different, spins and different strengths that we all have. So I think that's what makes us so special, and that's what makes us, so effective. And I think it just throws other teams off, and it throws other hitters off. And, there's not a specific rotation that we go in. It's different. So they don't know who's going to start. They don't know who's going to be in relief. So that's, a big aspect of what makes us successful as a staff. And then another thing is we cheer for each other and we have each other's backs. And to know you're on a staff that, we want all of us to succeed, that's pretty special. And I think having a bond with, everyone on the staff is what makes us even better.
We had the LSU fall report on our site this week. So anyone listening, want to go check that out, d1softball.com. We kind of broke down what took place in the fall, what you guys did. And when I spoke to head coach Beth Tarina, she kind of said there was really no egos or jealousy. Shelby, from your perspective, how does that happen? Because we know a lot of times, people can want innings more than other people, and you guys divvied up pretty evenly. I mean, ridiculously evenly among the four. Why is that the case? Why do you feel like that works with no egos or no one jealous of each other's success?
I think it just works because, like, I mean, in general, Coach has like, she, we create like this like atmosphere on our team where it's just like everybody's a part and we all contribute in some way. And I think that's something that has really helped like our pitching staff is I think it's just easy to get behind each other because like we are all different and we all just like want to see like each other succeed. Kind of like MB said, it's just very easy when we're all there, and like outside of softball we all have great chemistry and we're not just friends like on the field. And I know that sometimes like people are like, yeah, you just say that, but that's something that we really like pride ourselves in, is like it's not just about softball, it's about something so much more. And like we're gonna have these girls like for the rest of our lives, and I think it's just being able to like have a like relationship outside of softball that really also helps us to build one in softball and just have each other's backs wholeheartedly and know that we're there for each other like 100%, and like there is no jealousy, there is no ego. And I think that's that the coach has done a really good job of like helping I guess just like mold us into the players and people we are, and just realizing that we all have a part and we're all special in some way and we're all going to be able to contribute in some way. And so I think that's really just the thing that like helps the most in that.
In that sense, you said you're very close and you guys are, you know, obviously working together every, you know, as much as you can now that we've gotten back to being on the field in the fall. What do you learn from each other? Have you guys picked up anything from each other that you've used from any different pitch on the staff? Doesn't just have to be you two, but anything that you've learned individually that you've incorporated now?
Yeah, I think for sure. I think it's very, because we are so different in a way, it's very easy to learn from one another. So, I mean, just saying like we all kind of rely on each other to help, like, you know, Coach is only one person and we have several pitchers on our team. So she's not always in the bullpen with us and she can't always watch us. So I think it's just like easy for us to just be like, hey, Allie, like I'm throwing a rise ball and like I need help, like it's not rising or it's like jumping too much, like what am I doing? Or like it's easy to be like, hey, MB, can you watch and make sure like our mechanics are good? And I think it's just we feed really well off of each other and we honestly take what each other says to heart, and we really try to like listen to what they say because we're all effective in our own way. And I think that's something that really helps, is that it's easy for us to listen to one another because we trust each other with what they're going to tell us. Like it's not like they're just telling us something that's nonsense. Like we know what Coach expects and we know what Coach wants, so it's easy for us to like help each other out and kind of build off of each other.
And Mary Beth, I'll ask you about this. We, you know, you guys are on the field in fall, and it obviously it's a little different with some of the protocols and COVID, But talking to Coach Tarina, there's a motto that you guys came up with of make it count. And like things are posted on the scoreboard so everyone can see how much it counts. You see exactly your stats up there on that huge scoreboard. Where did that come from? How did that theme kind of, where did that take root among the team? And tell us what that means to you, Maribeth.
Yeah, so it came from last season and, you know, our season being cut short and not getting to finish out. You know, we were about to head to South Carolina to play our first SEC series. And then all of a sudden, you know, we show up with our bags and we show up with our suitcases ready to go. And then next, you know, we get called into a team meeting saying that it's canceled and whatnot. And then the next day it's the whole season's canceled. So I make it count is, you know, making every pitch count, making every practice count. I think it's really important. I really liked how, you know, she incorporated that saying and that motto in this season, because you really don't know when it's going to end and you don't know what's going to happen. Never in a million years that I think that, you know, our season will be, you know, would get cut short. And we get into this routine where we go to practice, we see each other every day, and we play softball. That's that. But then, you know, you have this big thing that happens to you where your season gets cut short and your season gets cut short, and it makes you really realize, like, you know, making every day count and enjoying the little things, from practice to seeing your teammates to seeing your coaches every day, you know, it all counts, because you never know if this is going to happen again. So I really liked how, you know, she's putting numbers up on the scoreboard and we're getting to see the progress we're making through the fall, and we're getting to see our teammates' progress making through the fall. So yeah, what it means to me is just, you know, have fun with it. Don't be so stressed out. It's softball. This is what we love to do. Make your practice count, make your, you know, seeing your teammates and your coaches count. That's just, you know, all in all, I think it's a really cool motto, and it's probably one of my favorite mottos that we've had in my 5 years here.
Do you guys, when we were all kind of, everyone was locked down, you weren't back to fall yet, there was a lot of Zoom sessions going on, I'm sure text chains and everything. And what one activity that you guys did, maybe that was a little out of the box or something that you guys really enjoyed through all that, you know, virtual team meetings and everything, was there something that you really enjoyed doing among all those things your team did?
Yeah. So, we actually did a book club, and every two weeks, they would send us a book, and it was from John Gordon. And we, you know, we get to read this book, and then we would meet and talk about it. And that was one of my favorite things we did. And, you know, they were all really inspirational books. One of my favorite ones was The Coffee Bean. That was the first book we read. And then we'd read it, and then we'd do like this activity type of workbook thing where we would answer questions based off what the book was. And I thought it was really cool that, you know, they, in the times we're in, they found something for us to connect with. They found something for us to do together, even though we couldn't be together in person. You know, we got to get on Zoom and see each other's faces and talk about what we read and talk about what it means to us. So yeah, that was definitely one of my favorite activities that we got to do. And you know, they're really creative. So I thought, you know, who comes up with, you know, getting some short books for us to read on our own, and then we get to talk about it. Like that was so cool. And it definitely was, you know, one of my favorite things about being in quarantine by far.
Did you have anything, Shelby, or was that the same for you?
That was it.
Yeah, that sounded, I remember we did something, I wrote a story kind of on that, and I had John Gordon, I talked to him about it, and he was really excited you guys had him, you know, in there to do that. And I guess he made like a special guest appearance, which is pretty cool. We always try to kind of end this pod, like when we talk to you guys, we're going to have you on again, obviously, once the season gets closer. We know you fall just ended, everyone's going to kind of go home and do COVID Thanksgiving, whatever that entails, probably a small little family gathering, hopefully, but you guys are from Texas, so you know there's, what, when you go to Louisiana, what is the best food there? Like, being an outsider, what have you tried that's maybe Louisiana specific that you really have taken to in your time at LSU?
For me, I'm really not a big seafood girl. You know, I don't like crawfish. I don't like fish. I don't like shrimp. I'm not a big seafood girl, and that's what Louisiana is known for. But I do love, you know, they have a lot of fried food, so I'm big on the fried food. I think, you know, fried chicken and the beignets. I love beignets. I've never had one until I came here, so that was a fun experience for sure.
How about you, Shelby?
I would have to say probably just like the different gumbos. Like, I mean, you never go somewhere and it's never the same. Like, it's always made different. And I think that's just like one of my favorite things to eat is gumbo. And I thought I knew what gumbo was until I came here. And then I was like, whoa, this is a total different kind of gumbo. But I would say that would be mine.
All right. Last question. You guys obviously are softball players and you want to play that as long as you can. But there's life after softball. What do you have? What do you feel like you guys are going to be doing? What do you aspire to do as a professional career beyond sports?
I after I graduate, I want to be a college coach. It's something that I've, you know, ever since I was, you know, 12, 13 years old, that I've kind of played around with that idea. And then when I got here and I was influenced, you know, so positively by Coach and Lindsay and Dobby and Quinn, you know, it just made my love for coaching even stronger. So after I graduate, I'd like to, you know, become a pitching coach somewhere, or maybe start out as a volunteer assistant. But it's, you know, one of my goals in life is to, you know, help people and love people and inspire people. And I think I can do that by coaching. And, I find that passion through coaching. I coach every summer for a travel ball team, And I absolutely love it. And getting to, you know, help girls develop as people and players is something that is so special to me. And then it's, you know, being able to help them off the softball field is, you know, a huge aspect of it. I mean, coming in, I was, you know, just a dumb freshman. I didn't really know, you know, obviously I knew some stuff, but I didn't really know the importance of things. And I think coach and the rest of the staff taught me, you know, how to be a good person. And so that's just what I want to do. After, I just want to help people and love people and, you know, inspire people to grow and, you know, be better.
Shelby?
So I would like to go back to school and get my master's in speech pathology and become a speech therapist. It's something that I've wanted to do for a while now, and I ended up changing my major throughout my career at LSU, but ultimately I want to go back and get my master's and become a speech therapist. And kind of what MB said, just be able to help others and like make an impact in someone's life and inspire them to like not let anything hold them back. And
That's awesome. Good job, you two. That's great. Well, we really appreciate you joining the D1 Softball Podcast. We are honored to have you as guests. Anytime there's an open invitation to come back, I'm sure we'll be talking about LSU and the Tigers and everything down there. Fingers crossed once the 2020 season gets off the ground. So appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll look forward to talking to you in the future.
Thank you for having us. Thank Happy Thanksgiving. So
And we've got another very special guest today, McNeese State head coach James Landrino. He is presiding over a team right now that's gone through more than anyone could ever imagine. It's amazing what's taken place down there with the city of Lake Charles, pummeled by multiple hurricanes in the last few months. We had a story on D1 Softball about, you know, the one before another hurricane barreled through, that was before that, and the destruction was already so widespread. That city is in desperate need of rebuilding. There's damage to the school, the softball stadium, the community. So we wanted to have James on to kind of give us an update and, you know, what's going on there and kind of if people can help, how they can help. So James, we appreciate you making time. I know it's been a hectic, we've hesitated to get you on right away because you have way more important priorities right now, but can you just give us an idea what your city and your program has been through from these hurricanes the last few months?
Yeah, I mean, man, I don't know if I'll do justice describing, you know, for the people of the area. It's been a lot. It's, you know, people here are resilient and tough. You don't hear them complain, but, you know, just to imagine that to this day, there's thousands of people that aren't living in their houses, you know, to the average person. And so you kind of forget, because I'm fortunate, you know, I live in my house and I'm able, but, you know, Thanksgiving coming up, how many people are talking about, you know, they're living in campers. And it's a crazy of the widespread damage that we have seen and the recovery process, you know. Then to follow up with Delta, you kind of think you have things going, and it's just another, you know, which Delta is just a lot of rain. It brought in a ton of rain. So people, you know, people don't have roofs back on their houses yet. You know, the first storm comes through, but Laura does a ton of wind damage across the community. And, you know, looking at weather, the wind speeds of upper 180 miles an hour, some places reported. And so it's basically a tornado that's covering 60 miles wide. And, you know, if you could drive about an hour north and south, you have the same type of damage. So it's definitely intense. Power, the first storm knocked us out probably about, you know, I was without power for over 4 weeks, 4.5 weeks, something like that. And, you know, really thought it was going to be longer than that. I think our power companies did an amazing job of getting us power back in, and, you know, Delta, we recovered right away. You know, the main thing is you start to just really appreciate the things that we did have. You know, right now, you know, restaurants are starting to open up. It's limited. You know, they're usually closing about 9 o'clock is what everything's doing. So you kind of throw in the COVID restrictions, and then with a hurricane, and man, you have some tough times for the people. And I feel for a lot of people that are out here. And that's the biggest thing is the recovery process is going to take years for the town of Lake Charles and surrounding areas. And I think sometimes we forget that there's surrounding areas. It's not just Lake Charles. It's the people below us and to the side of us. And, you know, Cameron got devastated right there. And, you know, all the way in Iowa. And I think that's the unique thing about this storm is how widespread the amount of damage is. Right now, the recovery process is still ongoing. You know, you have grocery stores opening up, so it's a convenience factor. But there's a lot that aren't. And there's a lot of businesses that said they're not going to reopen between, you know, taking the slam of a COVID restrictions that happened throughout the year. And then to get hit with these two storms, it's just a little bit too much for some people to overcome. You know, the positive is, you know, people are positive here and we're facing the rebuild. We're excited as a program because we got to practice this week. This is really my first, November 2nd was the first time I was able to be with my team really since last March because we evacuated, you know, the first week of school. And so I really had face-to-face contact with our softball team. And so, man, that was very uplifting, it's refreshing. And I know for them to actually get out there and be able to compete a little bit and run around, it was needed. You know, the Zoom meetings could only do so much. I think we really missed that face-to-face interaction with people. So that's a little bit, you know, our stadium's under construction. They're going to start this week on the rebuild. And we had significant damage to the stadium. But, you know, we're hopeful that we've been told that we'll be able to play in our stadium this year. So that's exciting for us. You know, you have to make the best of a bad situation, practice, you know, finding places to practice and travel around a little bit. But, you know, our kids have been great about it. I think the biggest thing for our team is they really got in the community and that we helped. And you know, down to pulling out sheetrock, to tarping houses, to moving furniture out for people that needed help. And I think it really gave them appreciation for the things we do have. And that's what we talked about yesterday with the team is, hey, this is maybe an intramural slow pitch softball field, but you know what? At least we have a place. At least we're able to do something. And when we do get our stuff back, we'll appreciate it. You know, kids are getting taped on old bleachers and trying to, you know, no dugouts and having, you know, it's a little throwback. It's a reality right now for us, but I'm really proud of the way our team's handled it.
Yeah, and you, your team, before they could get back together, you know, and practice, I know some of them were able to get back because they felt compelled to help the community. Can you discuss some of the ways that in the early going that they, you know, they kind of rallied on their own to help others that, you know, that they really didn't have to do, but they made drives to do that?
Absolutely. You know, a number of players had called me the first day as in, coach, you need any help with your house. And, you know, I said, you guys could come. We're going to take care of it. It's not going to be hard. So they show up and they're like, what else? And we started going down people, friends of ours that have and that we have. And that first day we just went, there's a couple people that, their business is right next to my house that got destroyed. So we just went and helped them. One was a baseball coach. We went and helped them. And they're like, coach, if there's anybody else. So the next day I said, hey, a couple people called, we could go by this place. Well, that turned out into my coaching staff and director of ops, Megan Holmes, our players started making a little list and taking notes of people that needed help. And every day we meet at my house and kind of sign, hey, we're going to take care of divide up houses. And I mean, I had players that were driving in an hour and a half every day just to help out. And so that went on for, you know, I guess about 17 days straight. We put in some time helping people. And like I said, the range, which we did, we've done everything from yard cleanup to taking sheetrock out of houses to getting on top and tarping roofs, whatever people needed us to do, you know, are cutting down trees. We were able to do it. And, but our players wanted to, they would call every day. And even some of our players as far as Dallas made a couple trips in to help out. And I just think, you know, the one thing that's unique about McNeese State University is it's so community-based. You know, like we have the things we have, we understand, our players understand it comes because our community supports us. And because I tell people, I said, you know, you always know what's important to people. I said, there's two things I'll tell you, where they spend their time and how they spend their money. That's what's ultimately important. So these people come out and watch us. And then more importantly, you know, they support us, but they dig in their pocketbook to make sure our players have the things they need to play at a Division I level. And so the opportunity to give back, I think our players really they're felt fortunate to be able to finally give some back to them.
That, you know, on that same vein too, I've heard of a lot of the softball community was rallied around your program when they heard about it, people locally, some not. Can you tell us some of the things that you heard from the softball community and received? I mean, there were some amazing stories to come out of that with drives that were like 10 hours to give you generators, just how much the softball world tried to help your program.
Absolutely. You know, first of all, I mean, it started day one, you know, from the text messages and phone calls from all over the country, you know, numerous schools. And it really meant a lot those times. And, you know, people, you know, one of our conference coaches at St. David Q and at Central Arkansas calls me one day. We have a Zoom meeting. He said, "Hey, man, I'm on my way." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I got a truck full of generators and some cash in hand. We want to help out." And he drove, you know, 9 hours, drives here and drives back in the morning. So, you know, down that, our conference coaches send, you know, Sam Houston drives down with some vans of supplies. Not only that, they bring cash in hand as well to try to help the rebuild situation. People donated online all across our conference. And people just showed up. You know, it was really neat to see the amount of, like I tell our players, how many people know that we're here and understand what we're going through and want to reach out and help. And people still are doing so. And I felt bad because a lot of people want to come in and help and they want to do physical labor. It's just really hard to coordinate all the needs and demands. But, you know, we were fortunate enough that we were able to give out meals a couple times. And we actually, as a team, went down to Cameron and gave out meals there. And so, you know, some of the money we were able to give back to our community by making sure that we had meals for these people and participate in that as well. And then we also we teamed up with our district attorney's office here and handing out chicken dinner, barbecue dinners probably for a week straight. We were averaging probably 900 meals a day. And it was, people were definitely in need. So, I mean, between our community, the softball community really showed how strong we are. It's amazing how hard you could compete against each other on the field. But man, as soon as we were in need, they were all there to help. It's very humbling.
Is there still, I mean, it's a dumb question. I know there's still a need for help, but in ways that maybe people listening to this podcast can help, are there ways that you can direct people to do that? Or is there any specific way that if people want to help still?
Yeah, there's a couple things that I'm aware of. You know, obviously, Red Cross is still doing some stuff in town and they're setting up tents on the weekend. So anything you could get to them, as well as, you know, as far as, you know, a lot of people asking for us in particular, you know, for us, it's we don't know how this rebuild is going to go. So we are going to be putting some stuff online again and trying to get this process so we can play and get some of our things back so our kids have the resources. You know, right now, we don't have a weight room. We don't have a training room. So those things, you know, we're trying to make shift through. But United Way is also another one besides Red Cross that's doing a lot in town. So those are some things that kind of stick off my head at this point that I see every weekend they're setting up stuff for them to do. And if you go to, you know, like there's a webpage, and I don't have it on, but if you go to Lake Charles, if you go to one of Lake Charles, you Google the city of Lake Charles and Relief Help. They list a bunch of different things that are going on every week and places that need help and assistance. So that's some other ways. But, you know, people are going to be in this rebuilding process for a good while. You know, positive is we're starting to get places open so you could get food and you could get groceries. So those things are good. And we're finally, you could drive down the roads now and not see nearly as much debris. So it's definitely uplifting to see the cleanup start.
That's great. Well, we'll kind of leave you on that. We'll leave you on a note, maybe, I don't, you know, a little bit more. That's an uplifting note, but another one, just, I know you didn't have electricity, let alone cable or anything for a while. So, but we saw one of the, you know, McNeese, the pride of McNeese State, Erica Piancastelli, playing at Athletes Unlimited, had quite a run there, got a lot of, you know, got some really, really good attention for her. Did you get a chance to see any, and what can you kind of tell us about your thoughts on Erica?
You know, we did get to watch a little bit, mainly on my phone, is how we were able to catch it. And then, you know, Erica and I still try to communicate, and she actually came down after the season and spent a couple days over here, and probably about, I'd say a couple days, 2 weeks. So it's great to catch up. You know, what's impressive about Erica is what's always made her so fun to be around is she has fun. Like, she loves to play softball. And to see her face light up when we're talking about it, she said, "Coach, I just had so much fun. It's like one of the best experiences of my life." And so she hasn't changed. That's the exact same player that we had in college that, hey, she'd ride her bicycle to practice and was happy as heck waving everybody every single day, you know? And what's crazy about Erica, she's still giggling, like she's still talking about the players that she played with as her idols. You know, she still looks up to every one of those players, and she's a humbling human being. I don't know if you could ask for a more humbling person I've ever met in my life. You know, I could tell you stories all day about it, but simple things like Erica didn't. She broke just about every offensive record in the Southland Conference and McNeese. And one day I take Erica out of a game because she never really would get like this proper, she'd break these records and she'd never get like this proper, you know, reward or recognition, I guess I should say. So I think she just broke the Southland Conference RBI record for career. And so she hits a double. I get her to second base and I take her off the field. And the people, the game knew, and they all stood up and started clapping for her, right? And so she's embarrassed by it. She leans over to me as she comes off. She says, "Why are they all clapping?" and so you have to tell her what's going on. And I think that's just kind of who she is. Like, I can't tell you one record that she really, I don't think there's a record that she broke that she knew she was about to break it, you know? She really just cared about her team winning. You know, she's on this home run tear and she's coming to me and she's like, "Coach, I can bunt if we need a bunt." I was like, "We're not going to bunt. We're not going to bunt, Erica."
That's awesome. You know,
as a human being, you know, she truly, when I talked to players about it, I said, she allowed us to coach her. I was able to coach her hard, which helped the entire team. And as much greatness that she did for our program while she was here, she did so on the field, she did so much in the locker room for us, bringing the team together. The team rallied around her. And Erica just, you know, is one of those kids that you really root for because it's everything, right? She's a talented individual. She's kind of an underdog coming in. But she stayed so humble throughout this entire process. And she's still so grounded to this day. And to be able to visit with her and see how excited she is still to play softball, I mean, it's a pretty good feeling. I don't think you'll ever hear her complain about being able to play this game or practice.
Well, it was cool to have her get a little bigger stage and spotlight for this summer and have a lot of people be more exposed to her and therefore kind of expose your program a little bit more. So, well, this is great. We could probably talk stories about Erica for hours, it sounds like, which would be great. But got a lot of stuff to do. Thankfully, it sounds like you have some practices to prepare for, which is, fingers crossed, a great thing. And I'm so happy for your kids that they're able to get that. They deserve it more than any team that has been on the field this fall. McNeese State deserves it. So thank you so much for taking time out of your day. You're welcome to come back anytime on the D1 Softball Podcast.
Well, I sure appreciate you guys having me. And I appreciate you guys thinking about us and look forward to doing it in the future.